We are going to be in Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to go through probably just a short 9 verses. But as we stop and think and we realize and we recognize and we understand, we know, we believe that our God is more than amazing, more than enough, we look at what he's telling Joshua to do. And as we get into this passage, it's going to be that thought. I want you to think about the fact that if you were thrown into Joshua's shoes, how well would we do? If as an individual we were able to see somebody go before us and see somebody as close to God as Moses was and followed God in that way, and then when Moses dies, God says, here you go. And you have all that responsibility of the children of Israel. You're going to cross the Jordan. You're going to battle of Jericho. All of that is thrown into your lap. Your God is amazing, and your God is more than enough. And so as we look at this tonight, I want us to understand and kind of put ourselves mentally where the things that God is saying to Joshua at this time, right after the death of Moses, that God is saying to us today. That puts a little bit different spin on this passage when we start putting ourselves in there and saying, yeah, God told him to do this, but that was something special. God was calling him into a ministry that was different than any ministry you and I would have. He's responsible for leading people into the promises of God. How is that different than what you and I are supposed to be doing on a daily basis? Let's pray. God, we just ask now that you bless your word. Lord, you are amazing. You are more than enough. We know that. Lord, we claim that. Lord, now speak to us through your word. Challenge us and charge us because we know you will equip us that we might glorify and honor you. In your name we pray. Amen. Verse 1, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to a land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. So God speaks to Joshua up front and says, Moses is gone. You're going to lead these people to a land that I've promised to give them. You are going to be the leader now that Moses is gone. That responsibility is put on him. Now, was he prepared? I think as prepared as we could possibly be for what God is calling him to do. God has not told him exactly how it's going to happen. At this point, he knew nothing about the walking around Jericho. He knew nothing about so much of what was going to happen. But he knew that last statement. Go over the Jordan, you and all this people, to a land which I am giving them. All he knew was that he was supposed to go to a place that God was giving them. For you and me, sometimes I would want to know, okay, God, where do I cross the Jordan at? Who are we going to meet first when we get over there? I would want to know so many other things. The reason I say that is because, and you might be the same way, is because every day when we know that God's called us to do something, we want Him to spell it out just a little bit more than go. I'm giving this to you. We understand the go part. We can look back in Matthew where it says, as you go, preach the gospel, or we can look at the Great Commission, go and make disciples. We can look at those passages and we know we're supposed to go. Maybe we don't know exactly where we're supposed to go, but we know we're supposed to go. And we might even have strong enough faith to do that. But that other part of this where he says, I'm giving it to you, that's the part that we seem to falter on. Sometimes it's easier for us to say, okay, God, I'm going to go and I'm going to talk to these people that you're sending me to. I'm going to share the gospel with these people. And we go and we think, but if they don't listen, then I've done something wrong. God told Joshua just to go, and then he will give the land to them. God tells us to go, and then he will take care of whatever he's telling us to do. But too many times we hesitate because, well, what if we don't see it, or what if it doesn't work out exactly like we want it to? And so we have that hesitation. But either way, God is telling Joshua, your responsibility is to go, you and all this people, to this land that I'm giving them. In verse 3 it says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Think of that promise. I mean, get a grasp on that, that God says, every place you set your foot, I'm going to give you. That's an amazing promise that he gives to Joshua and to these people. That if you go, I'm going to give you every place that you step. But not that I'm going to give it to you, but it's actually written in past tense. I have given. Too many times when you and I start to do something, God calls us to do something, and we know that he's calling us to do it, we think, well, is it going to turn out right? It's going to turn out the way he wants. It's a done deal in God's book. Just like here he says, I've already given it to you. Any of the land that your foot will tread upon, I have given you. They haven't even stepped there yet, and God has already given it to them. You and I haven't even stepped out and done the things God's called us to do. But his word promises us that he will give us what he's called us to do. Now, it may not be the promised land like this, but I know that I have a promised land ahead of me because of what he's promised me. I have a hope in Jesus Christ that even though I'm not there yet, I know it's already a done deal. Verse 4, it says, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. So he describes the land. All of the land is going to be given to them. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. The comfort that Joshua had to have received in that statement. We make that statement all the time that God promises never to leave us nor forsake us. Now in this, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit had a different, for lack of a better term, job than he has today. He came along beside them and he empowered them and he fought for them, but he lives inside you and me. He dwells within us. And when the Holy Spirit dwells within me as a Christian, he will never leave me nor forsake me. So Joshua here has that promise that God is going to be with him and never leave him. Do you think about that often? That God is never going to forsake you. Now we know that's a promise that we have. We know that that's God's word, and we can claim that. So why do we hesitate when he says, go and witness, go and minister, go and do this? Why do we hesitate If it's what God's Word has told us, He's called us to do, why do we hesitate when we know that He will never forsake us? I think sometimes I hesitate because I have in my mind how things should work out. And that's not what it's about. Because if it had to work out like my mind would think, then probably a lot of times it wouldn't work out. But when God says, I'm in charge, I'm sovereign, go do this, He already knows what it's going to be like. He's already given it. He's already given the situation. It's already happened. It's written in past tense, even though it hasn't happened yet. He is never going to forsake us. Now, does that mean everything's going to turn out perfect every time? No, that's not what that means. It means that whatever you go through, He will always be with you. And if that's the case, there is no greater peace than to know that my God has me in the palm of His hands. And no matter what I face on this earth, He has me. He's never going to let me go. And no matter what I go through, when I'm through with it, I will still be in His hands. He will never leave me nor forsake me. Now comes the part that He begins to tell him in verse 6, "Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." Starts to give him just a little bit of the job description. Would you want that part of the job description? You have to split this land up among all these people. That just doesn't sound like that would be a fun task to do. You know, here you get them into the promised land, all the land that you're going to step on is yours, and He says, you shall divide this as an inheritance, this land which I swore to their fathers to give them. So He begins to show Joshua just a little bit of what his job description is going to be. And then right after that, what does he have to say again? Only be strong and very courageous. He just told him that. In verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. What separates those two statements? The job description. When God calls us to do something, He tells us He's going to equip us. He's going to give us what we need to do, what He tells us to do. And then we get just a little glimpse of what our job description is. And it's like, God, I could sure use another be strong and of good courage again. Because when He begins to tell us what He expects of us, He knows it's not going to be easy. And in this case, I would not have wanted that job, to divide that inheritance up, to divide all of that land. Who gets the mountains? Who gets the valleys? Who gets the good area? Who gets the watered lands, the springs? I would not have wanted that job. But it's just like today, there's a lot of times when God calls us to do something, I would rather somebody else do that part. Because that's going to ruffle some feathers. And nobody wants confrontation. But God comes back with only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. So He tells him a little bit of that job description, then He tells him you got to be strong and courageous because it's not going to be easy. You've got to be strong. And I know I like to fall back on that scripture that is 100% true, that says you know, when I am weak, then he is strong. And so many times we just want to step back and be weak. Because in my weakness, God shows his strength. But there are times when God calls you and me to be strong. And then in my strength, even in the strength that God gives us to do what he's called us to do, even in that strength, there's going to be weakness. And that's when his strength comes in. But we can't just sit back and say, well, God, you take care of it because I'm weak in every situation. He has given each and every one of us a strength in some area. Man, there are people that are prayer warriors. There are people that can go and talk to people one-on-one. There are people that come up behind and minister and nobody ever sees them. There are so many gifts that God gives us. He gives us these gifts and he expects us to be strong in that area. Even when we don't want to be. Now, Joshua obviously was a good leader. God had gifted him in that way. But even though God had gifted him in the area of leading, he had placed him over the children of Israel. He had to have had some type of a gift and some type of a strength to be that type of person. But even in his strength, God says, you need to be strong because you're going to face hard times. Use your strength, but understand my strength is there when your strength is not enough. So be strong. Whatever it is God's calling you to do, use that gift he's given you. And maybe some of the things he's calling you to do are going to cause you to step out in areas and ways that you're not ready to do. You have to come out of your comfort zone. I don't know that this was Joshua's comfort zone to lead them across there, to battle, to do the things, and then to divide the land. I don't know that would be anybody's comfort zone. But God said, be strong because you're going to face some hard times. That job description I gave you, it's not supposed to be easy. The job description God gives you, the job description he gives me, nowhere does it say in this book that it's going to be easy. My dad used to always say, if it was easy, everybody'd be doing it. You know, if it was easy to throw a 98-mile-an-hour fastball, everybody'd be doing it. If it was easy to hit a 98-mile-an-hour fastball, everybody'd be doing it. If it was easy to do the things God called you to do, then he wouldn't have had to say, oh, you're going to need to be strong and you're going to need to be courageous if it was easy. But he says, be courageous. Courage is that going ahead and doing it even though you're afraid. Doing your duty in spite of your fears. That's what he calls them to do. In verse 7, be courageous, be very courageous, that you'll do all the things that according to the law that you were commanded to do. Do not turn from the right to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper. Obviously, that was not going to be easy. To follow that law, to try to get all of those children of Israel. Moses couldn't get them to do it. They had wandered for 40 years because they were a stiff-necked people. And it was hard to lead them. It was hard for Moses to lead them. It's not going to be any easier for Joshua to lead them. And God says, you need to be courageous in the midst of all the fears that you're going to have. You need to obey the law and not stray to the right or the left. When God calls you to do something, you're going to have to stand up and be courageous when you don't want to be. When it would be so much easier just to step back and let somebody else do it. He also says in 7, be careful to do everything observe according to the law. Now, these people weren't even following God. They had been given the law, and Moses, they turned on him. They complained to him. They were constantly, complaining about Moses, about God. You brought us out here to die. And that's the people he says you need to make sure that you're following the law. I mean, if you saw manna from heaven and you saw water come from a rock, and then 2 days later you said, well, all we've got to eat is manna, and you began to complain about God and about his leadership in Moses, within 3 days they're complaining. And that's the people you've got to tell and to get them to obey everything according to the law, observe everything according to the law. Trying to convince people to obey God's word when they don't even know God? Sound familiar? And all I'm doing is I'm trying to share Jesus Christ. I'm trying to share the plan of salvation, what God done when He sent His Son to die on the cross for you. For you to accept Him, for you to live for Him because He died for you. And we're trying to share that message with people that don't care anything about God. It says you gotta be courageous. You gotta make sure that you obey the law. Be strong and courageous that you may observe to do everything according to the law. It's hard enough to try to teach them to do it when they don't want to know about God. But God is saying, make sure, be careful that you observe, that you're obedient. He goes on in verse 8, he says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Oh man, that sounds like a good turnout at the end if it's just that easy. But he says, that book of the law, that you do not depart from it. You need to be attentive to everything that's in there. There are a lot of people today in churches across this country and across the world that if you said, are you attentive to God's word? They would probably say yes. And they don't even pick it up during the week. For me to be attentive to God's word, the things that Jesus says, well, it's not about obeying Him, it's about just accepting Him. Well, not according to what He said, because Jesus Himself said that you repent. When you believe, you obey. Well, I like the part about grace. I'm just going to focus on that part. Well, what if Joshua would have said, God, I want to, those first four, I like those first four of the Ten Commandments. But man, that dealing with my people, those last six that deal with people, I'll just focus on you because it's really just about you and me. And he says, that book of the law that should be, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. That word meditate's come up in my quiet time a couple times in the last 2 to 3 weeks. And I think it's one of those things that God is kind of pointing out to me that I need to do, because I find myself so busy. So many things going on. So many stresses in life that are out there. Good ones, bad ones, both. But there's times when I just need to sit the other day and stare out the window at the rain and just think about what God is talking to me about. Or sit in a dark closet or a room or a car or wherever you can be and meditate on God's Word. Because any time you spend in God's Word meditating on what He is trying to say to you will never be time wasted. We can rush around and we can try to do all the things that all the jobs we have, with all the ministries we have, all the things that we're supposed to do, but none of those are more important than my time spent with God. Because if I try to go out and do all these ministries, and I spend all these hours doing ministries, you spend all those hours doing ministries, but I don't spend time with God alone, soaking in His Word, meditating on it. Too many times I want to read it as I run by and not even think about what it's got to say. But He says to meditate on that Word. It's supposed to stay inside me. It's supposed to be there to where it saturates my mind. I was watching one of my favorite movies the other night, Singing in the Rain. You guys, oh man, when he's dancing in the rain, it's just like I wanted to get up and dance, you know, because I can just, and I see him just stand, and just his suit goes from dry or pretty much dry to completely saturated. And that's when he's happiest. He gives his umbrella away because he knows that it's not about that. That was his whole purpose. You stand under a downspout, you dance in the rain, you splash in the puddles. Anything he could do to get wet. And I think when it comes to God's Word, I just get sprinkled on occasionally. I want to get saturated to where I just can't get. I want to focus on it. I want to meditate on it. I want to hear it. I want to hear it saying. I want it to be so much in the forefront of my mind that it departs not from me. That's what God told Joshua to do, is meditate on it day and night. And when you wake up in the middle of the night and you don't know why, start praying for somebody. Start quoting scriptures. Start doing something with God's Word. Pray scripture over somebody. It says, meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. In other words, if you don't meditate on it, if you don't take it in, if you're not saturated with it, then how are you going to observe? Because it says, meditate day and night that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. If I'm just sprinkled on by the Word of God, then I'm probably not going to observe everything it tells me to do. But he says, when we do, when we observe it, when we're saturated by God's Word, it will make our way prosperous and you'll have good success. So Joshua is supposed to be strong and be courageous and be careful to be obedient, to do everything that the law says, and then even on top of that, be attentive to it, be saturated by His Word so that you can meditate on it day and night and observe it, so that then you'll be prosperous and successful. Well, now, wait a minute. Didn't he say he had already written that he's already given the land to them? So doesn't that mean they're going to already be successful? in God's eyes, they're successful. But he says, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success when your life is saturated with his word. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Why would he need to repeat that again? Surely the encouragement that starts off, be strong and of good courage in 6, then he gives him the job description, then he tells him to be strong and courageous, then he tells him how to be strong and courageous, he tells him how to be successful and prosperous by taking in God's word and by applying it to his life, meditating on it, being saturated with it. And then he comes back and he says, have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? When we first read those first two, first when God's saying, be strong and very courageous, or of good courage, be strong and of good courage in 6. So it's kind of like he's saying, be strong and of good courage for this people, you shall do this, your job description. Then he says, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe and do everything that I've called you to do through the law. So it's kind of like it's, when we take those first two, it's just God is saying, hey, be strong and courageous. And then he's saying, you need to be strong and courageous to do all this. But then he comes at this third one and he says, I commanded you to be strong and courageous. It wasn't just a suggestion. God commanded Joshua as he goes into this ministry to be strong and courageous. And it's a command. And he says, don't be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Be aware that the presence of God is with you. Now we know that. Like I said, we've talked about it before. We know that he's with us. We know he indwells in us. But when you think about something, when you dwell on the idea that the Lord is with you wherever you go, when you make yourself, when I make myself aware of that, that the power of God is within me wherever I go, how does that change my attitude going into a situation? When we know that the power of God is equipping us to do what he's called us to do, when we know that the power of God goes with us in what he's called us to do, wherever we go. Now, does that mean I can just go wherever I want? No, because it goes back to those things, meditating on the word, because I'll not turn to the right or to the left. So I'll be in the right spot according to God's word if I obey his word. And so if I'm obeying his word, if I'm not going to the right or not going to the left, I'm not doing the things that God tells me not to do, and I'm doing the things he tells me to do, then wherever I go, his power will be displayed. So that's the ministry that God has called you into. I don't know what that is. Be strong, be courageous, be careful to do everything the law says, the word of God says. Be attentive and saturated with the word of God, and be aware that God's power is with you. His presence, his promise, and his purpose will always be with you. So let's go do what he's told us to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for loving us. We thank you for the blessings you give us. God, call us, show us where you want us to go, what you want us to do, what you want us to say. Help us to love the way you want us to love, you and those around us. In your name we pray. Amen.